previously on 24.
We know you printed a document before the EMP detonated. Where is it?
You decide when the pain stops.
Drop the gun or I kill him!
Paul, where's the data printout?
I hid it.
Is it?
Yeah, it's in code. I couldn't make any sense out of it.
We need to get it back to CTU.
Tony, I appreciate you carrying the ball till Michelle got here. Why don't you bring her and everyone else up to speed?
The man responsible for planning today's attacks, Habib Marwan, has been a long-term employee of McLennan Forrester. Jack Bauer and Paul Raines went to the company to inspect his computer files.
As they were doing so, an electromagnetic pulse bomb was detonated, wiping out the company's entire database.
We have to assume whoever detonated the EMP thinks Jack and Paul found something and wants them eliminated.
What are we going here?
Weapons and ammunition.
I'm a federal agent! Look, we need your help!
Who's after you?
It has to do with the terrorist attacks. I have critical evidence that I need to get to the authorities.
If you're fighting the people who caused today's bloodshed, then we'll help you.
It's time.
I'm here.
You and Rain safe?
Yeah.
I need you to get this to CTU. It needs to get decoded immediately.
Jack, look out!
Paul!
Paul! Get me a medic!
It's time for you to go. Are you ready?
Yes, of course.
Proceed as planned.
The President of the United States is on a tight schedule.
We can't be late.
The following takes place between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m.
My name is Shohreh Akhtarshlu.
I'm Tim Isofano. I'm a producer, sometimes director, and I've been around for season 3 and season 4.
Come on, Paul, stay with us. We're almost there.
I love this episode because this is where we see Dina at the end, that she's leaning towards her love for her son. The feelings I had for this woman to begin with was that she's been commissioned, she's been trained, she's been designed for this, for her mission of destruction. And she would just go ahead and take care of each and every problem one by one, like a good, well-channeled machine. But the only thing that could really decode her program was the love for her son. This is where she turns into a female, a prehistoric female sometimes when I look at her, the way she's trying to save her son, the love of her life, and how her maternal instinct takes over her belief in her cause, her love for her cause, and starts deconstructing the program that she's been...
The thing I thought was interesting about what you did with the character was is that sometime around the episode when Navi decides to kill Baruz, Dina starts making her change. Mm-hmm. And what I think is great about our series is it gives you the opportunity to play that over 3-4 hours as opposed to trying to wrap that all up in 1 hour as typical episodic television would do. And you took it from, you know, early on you were leaning towards your son, staying committed to the cause, and then you finally took it full circle. And at the end, though you still had your commitment to the cause, Dina's focus was clearly on Baruz when that episode finished, or this episode finished. At least that's what I thought happened.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree, especially when she says goodbye to her son. I love that scene, the way she kisses her son, and somehow she knows that there is no return, that maybe she won't have a chance to hug him again and fully kiss him, as these kind of women usually do love their children. If we all agree that she is from Middle East, then she has a special kind of love for her son, because she would have not had the same love for her daughter. As we all know, sons are much more important than daughters. So this one, she's facing a big dilemma. It's either her love for her son or her cause. And she chooses her son. this is what makes me feel love her after all. When I was offered a role, I loved the idea because prior to this role, I was trying to turn down all the roles that were offered to me, terrorist roles, because they were just a line or two-liners roles and they weren't quite fully dimensional characters. This one was the first dimensional character, a terrorist character that I was facing with. And as an actor, I realized that there is a possibility of playing many roles, more than one or two or three, under one name, Dina Arraz. And that's why I was so excited about it. But I'm afraid I have to say that I didn't know what 24 was. So when my agent told me about 24, I thought he meant that we have to call him back in 24 hours and let them know. And I said, in 24 hours only? I have no idea what this is. And he said, oh, no, this is the name of the series. And I asked him to send a few home so I could get familiar with this TV drama. And I loved it. It's a political thriller, most of all, that made me love it more because I love political films, political stories regarding myself. I am a political animal coming from the Middle East, fighting for human rights in Middle East for the past 25 years. I realized, oh my God, this is a great opportunity to portray those who have been either wrongfully portrayed in the past TV series or films, or have never been thoroughly looked at. Therefore, I was very excited to play in this series. And second of all, I love the genre of it. In my opinion, it stands somewhere between James Bond and a high-stretched reality, or hyper-realism, if you will. And I love the idea of actual timing as well. It's very challenging for actors. When you play a film that happens in four seasons, which I am right now, you shouldn't really be worried about the continuity of it all. Obviously, you always have it in mind, but you just don't focus on it as something, as one of the fundamental pillars of your acting. But this one, with 24, you have to, because it happens on actual timing, and you really have to be in the situation, in the environment, always feel where you are, always know where you are, and never lose touch with the reality of your surrounding. Take a
chance. They might lead you. This is when Jack decides to go undercover. And he suggests the idea of using Dina, which, of course, everybody in CTU thinks is crazy.
Maybe not. Let me talk to her while you mobilize a tactical team. If I can't get her to cooperate by the time they're ready, send them in. But it's simple. We either find Marwan, or we will not be able to stop what he's planning next.
Amazingly enough, we were sitting in the car. It's right before when we go meet with one of Marwan's men. And we're sitting in the car, and I had no idea that Kiefer was going to injure himself. Was not in the script, so I had not read it, and I did not know, and he didn't let me know in advance that he was going to do this. While we were rehearsing, everything was new and raw for me, watching this CTU agent trying to injure himself, making the situation believable for our enemy or for their enemies. And while watching him trying to cut himself, I said to him, Kiefer, you know what? There is no difference between us. You are doing the same thing as we are doing. We are both fighting for our cause, for our beliefs. And amazingly enough, one is at the service of the devil, the other one is at the service of the angels. But we do the same thing. We injure ourselves, we kill ourselves, commit suicide sometimes. And again, for a cause that we believe in, and you're doing this for a cause that you believe in, and which is your country and the saving of your people. But it's amazing how we both are taking the same path.
Maybe it's very, yeah, it's about a commitment that goes beyond a career. It's mm-hmm. something in the blood, and you're right. Both characters do have that, and it just happened to serve different masters.
I don't know. Listen to me, Dory. Who's ever there, you put them on the phone.
Please, John, don't let them hurt the children.
Dory. Dory, put...
Put your clothes on, John.
These two scenes were on the first day of the episode that we shot. Not that there was any significance to that other than it was the first day.
First day of episode 14?
Yeah, it was the first day of episode 14.
I see.
This was a particularly powerful scene here between Dina and Jack.
Jack has to be believable for Dina to buy his words, otherwise he's in trouble.
The reason I asked Kiefer to be behind you and you to not make eye contact with him was to kind of set up a bit of a mental game between both of you, because I didn't think, and you subsequently agreed, that this should be easy for Jack. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't know what Dean is going to do when he comes in that room. Mm-hmm. And we never did until the very end, which is what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it worked out great. I really was happy with the way this turned out.
I'm so glad. Yeah, I totally agree. You're absolutely right. And here is the time that we don't need them to look into each other's eye in order to make that connection. Because the minute Jack Bauer says that Dina asks, who is this undercover that is going to go with me? Who is this man that I'm going to take as hostage? And the minute he offers himself and Jack Bauer and says, it's me, then they're both in the same boat.
And what Jack does, of course, is strike at the thing that you've been moving toward your character was moving toward over the past few episodes, which is your son. He says, you know, just a minute ago here, this is the last time you'll see him. He'll take your son away. Mm-hmm. Which, after keeping him out of Navi's reach, and Navi was going to kill him, and now here's Jack Bauer, who can do anything he wants. Navi could, but now the government has a hold of Beruz. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, you know, it's not quite as deadly.
Absolutely. Speaking of Navi, I have to say that I enjoyed working with my Latino husband on 24, Nestor Serrano, so much. One of the great actors I have ever worked with.
He was terrific. He was just terrific.
So gentle, so well-mannered, so polite. It's unbelievable. And like any good actors coming from a good school. Really enjoyed working with him.
Terrific.
And, of course, Jonathan Atwood, which came so natural.
Jonathan is he's going to be a big success.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
I told him one day on the set, I said, if you decide that acting is not your career, you'll succeed at whatever you want to do. He has that kind of poise. He really is that kind of a bright young man with a great, great future. I really, really think he's going to go a long way.
Absolutely. He is also very well-mannered and polite.
Yes.
Although some actors think that maybe that doesn't count, but it does. And the whole package comes together. I love the twists and turns in this series, in each and every episode. You think, oh, no, this is it. I've had enough. It's not going to change. It's not going to go further. But it does.
The hard part for us with the twists are we know, of course, when we're filming the scene, where the twists are going to be and what happens, and we've prepared it for a number of weeks, and we always wonder, will this work? Will the audience be surprised when it happens? Because, you know, we know what's going to happen, so every bit of film we see before the twist, we're looking for something that, did we tip it? Did we, you know, give it away? And it generally works. You know, the people that I talk to are usually surprised all the times we wanted to be surprised. So
it always works. You're right. Yeah. This is the intelligent writers of 24.
Well, it's everybody. It's the actors, too. It's the actors, too. It's you know, if it's not, as you know, played properly, then everyone will know.
Oh, yes, this invisible string between the actors and the viewers is amazing. how they grasp it all. You don't, they don't need words. Your eyes would tell it all.
The cover story goes as follows. An hour ago, I was transporting Dina Arez to the Federal Detention Center when my vehicle was attacked by the surviving members of a terrorist cell run by Navi Arez.
And thank God we don't have any actors whose acting is predictable. And you can guess that what's going to happen in the next half hour. Yeah. Oh, she's afraid, so something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's pretty unique, this TV drama. Forgive my ignorance, I'm not pretty familiar with all the TV series, but is there anything like 24 on television?
Not in real time, no.
No,
no, there have been other attempts to do intelligence agency series that have failed. So, but I think a big reason for that is what Joel Surnow has set out to do in terms of hiring actors. He always hires the best actor. As opposed to the most attractive physical actors. And it makes a big difference when it's about when you're sitting in the room, and the network doesn't give us a hard time about that. I've been on other shows where the network says, well, we need a pretty face in this role. Mm-hmm. And all you have is that few minutes and that small screen to tell the story. And I think Joel was right on when he says, find the best actors. It really, it makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. I realized that too. And it's amazing. Maybe that's what makes 24 more a sort of family thing that people like to watch, because they see, although it's not about them, it's a fictional story, but they see sort of faces in this series that are pretty familiar, that could mm-hmm. live next door.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
not
yes.
necessarily so beautiful.
Yes,
that
they're real people.
Only
real
live
people.
In Hollywood.
I think that's a big strength.
Only be engaged in expensive films, but you know, looks that are everywhere, but obviously intelligent looks that are everywhere, and everyone can connect to. It's amazing how in Chicago, whenever I used to go out, you know, when mm-hmm. I'm free, I go out shopping or having a meal at a restaurant. I found Chicago pretty family-oriented.
Yes.
Saturday, Sunday, I went out to a nice restaurant, and there were all families, husband and wives and their children. And some of them recognized me, and they kept telling me that how they love this TV series. Uh-huh. And a few of them, quite a few wives, told me that I have a date with my husband on Monday nights.
Oh, wow.
We take the children to the bedroom, and then both of us would sit and watch 24 together, which means that it has to be an intelligent, engaging, intriguing TV series that families would make, you know, appointments or dates to watch it together and enjoy it.
A lot of it has to do, you know, again, with the skill of the actors. The actors bring life to these parts. You know, like Mary Lynn. Mary Lynn is so good mm-hmm. with the part of Chloe and how she makes it so real. You know, we've all had the kind of feelings that Chloe has at work, mm-hmm. only she articulates it a lot better than all of us would in terms of her razor-like tongue. And how she can dissect somebody rather quickly.
They're setting cars up at the ambush site in case Marwan wants to verify. We're using the dead bodies of terrorists from Heller's rescue.
All right, the follow team will stay as close as they can, but to tell you the truth, Jack, you're flying without a net on this one. If a hostile decides to take you out without warning...
What I usually do, how I dissect my roles portrays that I am supposed to play them, I would write down a short story, kind of resume, background. When Joel Surnow and Bob Cochran told me about the story and about the character, they had no script ready for me to read. So I had to use my imagination. And they also wanted me to sort of explore ideas with them and tell them what I think about this character. So I spent 3 days to write a short story on her. In my opinion, she was born into a religious family. She was well taken care of. She was supposed to marry someone within the family. She did, probably a cousin, a far cousin who'd been abroad for quite a while, and immediately she started living with her husband. She had her son within two first years, which usually they do. Middle Eastern women try to give birth as soon as possible so they wouldn't have that gap age between their children and themselves. She's coming from a traditional family. She's learned how to take care of her man and her children.
You need to, you know what, I hate to interrupt you here, but this next scene was the one with Jonathan.
Oh, I really love the
raw
scene.
You need to talk about this and about how you said goodbye, because it's something that I learned from you, and I think it was very powerful. You told me about the tradition of how, if you're Middle Eastern, the way you relate to your children about the touching and the smell. Do you remember that?
Exactly, exactly, exactly. It's, this is a raw material, what we would see probably in private between a mother and son. They have no problem kissing and hugging their sons, which I found it pretty difficult amongst Western mothers. Mm-hmm. They don't do that. They try not to touch their sons. And obviously here I see youngsters are not very much so for hugging and kissing. And usually if you do that to them, they would say, oh, mom, people are watching. Yeah, you know, even in private, they're not used to it. But Middle Easterners do that a lot. They touch their children, obviously, in a very kind way, motherly way.
But that made that really strong, that goodbye there, because it was, even though, at least speaking from my perspective, a little bit unfamiliar to someone from the West, it's still the emotion was common, and I could, you know, and I think that's what you did so brilliantly with that goodbye scene, was just put that emotion out there. It might be a different custom than what we in America are used to, but it worked so well. And I had so many people tell me about that scene, just saying, oh my gosh, she was so, it was just so strong and so powerful, and it was really...
Probably a Western mother would have the same emotions, I'm sure. But in the West, you learn how not to show your emotions after a while. This is what I have gathered after 26 years of living in the West and always, always going through, trying to understand what the differences are in our cultures and where they're coming from, how we express them, how Western people express their emotions. I'm sure a Western mother would go through the same emotions as an Eastern mother. But back in the East, you learn how to show your emotions.
Right, right.
I'm still the same way with my American friends, and I find myself too much emotional sometimes.
Here's the part you were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
With the, when you were surprised with what Kiefer decided to do with this moment here.
Exactly at this moment, absolutely, when he tries to injure himself. I'm looking at him with my both eyes, mine, Shohreh, and also Dinara, is trying to understand what is going on with him and his belief and his cause, and I realize there is no difference. Fayyad does the same thing. In 10 minutes, he would blow himself up for his cause. It's just, again, a matter of being
but
at the
service. But Dina still has her commitment at this moment here when Jack hands her the gun.
Yes, and she's pretty straightforward about it. She tells Jack.
And everybody knew you meant it.
I meant
everyone
it.
Everyone knew that Dina meant it.
Absolutely. She really meant it. It's one quick moment that she really makes up her mind and you know, realize that this is the end, and she has to sacrifice herself for her son.
What if Fayyad doesn't believe us?
Then we're both dead.
His people were evacuated to San Gabriel Island area.
from footage that was shot earlier. There was a 100-mile radius as people tried to evacuate.
Getting back to the short story about Dina Arias that I wrote prior to receive the screenplay, was that she gave birth to Behrouz within the first 2 years, and she and her husband were traveling from one country to the other. Obviously, her husband was trying to get all the cells into the United States before the big mission starts. So she came to US 5 years prior. It was in the script. I was told that she's been here for 5 years, so I decided that probably she's been in Europe or England, and that's why I decided to pick up the British accent, because if she was educated in England, which most of them try to have a substantial amount of education, the minimum is a BA. So I decided that she's probably has studied in England for a few years. She's got while preparing herself for this big mission. In the United States, the element of the West. And so she moved to United States 5 years prior to the D-Day of the reactors melting down. And all the way along, all she's been doing is been taking care of her husband, taking care of her home. And also I love how human she is. I always thought that these people are human too. They have had mothers and fathers, for sure, and they have been brought up in a house amongst a family. So they're human, too, and we have, in order to be able to get to the psyche of a terrorist, we really need to know what happens to them. Again, there is no difference between Dina and I. We were both born into a family, but this is the family. My family was a young, hip, educated, civilized, modern type of family. My mother was 20 years old when I was born. My father was 24, so they were pretty young and educated and civilized. But Dina didn't have the chance. She was born into a fanatic, traditional kind of family. Probably if Dina was born in the same family as I was, she could have been a great lawyer or a doctor, for that matter. But she didn't have a chance. She was conditioned to become a terrorist. Therefore, I found it pretty compulsory for her to turn into this evil woman. And another thing I discovered about her while writing this short story was that I'm sure that she does not think of herself as an evil woman. She has her own reasons to believe that she is right, like when she tells Jack Bauer that if you are not able to help my son, I won't do anything for you because I'm helping you only to save my son. Otherwise, I would be happy to see the reactors melt down, she says. Which, and she's very truthful. I tried to do, because I've never ever been a terrorist, never played a terrorist, and as a matter of fact, never played a villain before in my career. All I tried to do is, first of all, not to judge my character. Do not think that Dina is a bad woman or is a terrorist, therefore she has to die and so on and so forth. And also, what I tried to do the most was try to portray her as truthfully as possible as a human. I'm sure the morning that Mohammed Atta woke up and put a nice shirt on, I'm sure you've seen the surveillance camera of LAX shows you how he is entering the airport with a shaved beard and nice clothing, probably some art going on. That morning, what was he thinking of? Sometimes I feel like, you know, these people are like body snatchers. They've been put to sleep somewhere, or these are not the real human beings. These are the models, like body snatchers. And maybe that morning, 4:30 a.m., somebody called Mohammed Atta and said, well, it's ready. And he woke up and decided to come and sit in the plane and hit the Twin Tower and kill thousands of innocent people. But what happened in that morning? He came out like any other ordinary people who goes to the airport, or maybe a little bit more than ordinary and normal. He was very chic, especially in that day. what's happening in those families. Mohammad Atto was born. What if I was, Dina was Mohammad Atto's mother? That's the kind of thought that I had. It was not like a train of thought. They were scattered thoughts here and there. But I tried to, like jigsaw puzzle, I tried to put them together. And it was a little bit hard because what I care a lot about when I'm acting is the continuity of it all. If one day they do a marathon on this series and you put them all together, you would realize how I have tried to keep the continuity, because it happens in 24 hours. It doesn't matter if there is 4 weeks apart between a scene that I have done to begin with and the scene that I'm doing on episode 5, 8 weeks later. In real life, it happens 4 hours after what you have seen 8 weeks ago. That's why it was hard to, and not knowing where the character is leading to next week. I knew to begin with that how the character is going to end, but I had no idea how what she's going to turn into next week. Therefore, I had to put all these scattered thoughts together, try to put the jigsaw puzzle, and portray her as truthfully as possible.
You mentioned a time span. I was thinking about that as you were saying that. You started work in late July, and you finished in January, and it was 14-hour time period. So it was,
4 months.
Yeah, 4 months to do 14 hours, which keeping it constant and keeping the continuity of the character, is that's a difficult thing to maintain over that amount of time. I don't think the audience realizes just how long it takes us to make this thing, and nor should they. But it's a tribute to everybody who's on the show that you're all able to do that. You're all able to just keep that same character running through and evolve slowly. Mm-hmm. Whereas in most series, over 22 episodes, 24 episodes, the character can evolve a lot, but our characters have to evolve a lot slower.
Exactly. In a fast speed, of course.
Yes, yeah. Evolve slowly while going 100 miles an hour.
Remember Marlon Brando said once that cinema is all about waiting, not acting. And he was absolutely right, because between scenes, changing of lighting, takes somewhere between an hour to, according to Jane Fonda, 3 hours. I was watching Searching for Deborah. Mm-hmm. And she said that once she had to wait 3 hours, so it's all about waiting, Marlon Brando said. Right. On the contrary, television, especially 24, is all about acting. You never get a chance to sort of get back to your room or, green room or trailer or have rest. Half an hour lunch only.
And then back to work.
And back to work.
We're going to have this lit in 15 minutes. Get ready.
Not even 5 minutes of coffee or tea in the afternoon. Or it's 12 hours working. Fast speed.
It won't be long.
You look nervous.
What do you expect?
After a while, I realized that, what happens is that the amount of energy, love, passion, work, money that the production of 24 puts into an hour of film, an hour of episode, is an equivalent of an hour of a film.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. We have everybody, as I'm sure you know, even the people that aren't on camera, has an incredible dedication to this series and making it. And I mean, one thing we try and do is create an atmosphere so that when the actors come in, they can do their best work. So that it's friendly, it's warm, it's comfortable, it's all those things. Because so many times, as everyone will see near the end of this episode, we're in locations that aren't exactly real comfortable.
Can hardly breathe.
Yeah.
The one that we're going into soon.
This tunnel was another one. Oh, geez, it was cold and damp.
It's everything. Editing, filming, pre-production, which takes a long time. It's exact same thing that you put into a film, an hour of film. And it's hard. You usually shoot an episode in 10 days,
We shoot 2 hours in 15 days.
2 hours in 15
two
days.
Two shows in 15 days, so 2 hours of it.
Like a film in 2 weeks.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
But
it's over 3 weeks, 15 days spread out over 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple of days where we do added scenes. So there's probably 15 to 17 days for every two shows.
For every two shows, which means like same amount of a film.
Just about, yeah, just about.
I wonder who can make a film, a 2 hours film, like 24 in 2 weeks.
Probably can't.
Only production. Yeah. Only 24 production, probably. Nah? The fact that they've been together for 4 years, it's the fourth season, right?
Yes, the fourth,
has turned this into a big, happy family. And because of their success, and the show has been great and has won many prizes, right? Many awards.
Yeah, Golden Globe.
Emmy.
Yeah, Emmys.
Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, directing award. Everybody is, every year it's just there's a bunch of nominations and a bunch of wins every year. And it's great. It's great to be in that kind of position.
Stop and search all vehicles. Chloe, do you have anything on satellite?
Nothing around the immediate area of the target's car.
You can go back in the archives and find out what happened.
Yeah, it's going to take a few minutes.
I'll do it.
Baron, what's your status?
We're closing in now.
We got them surrounded on the bridge. I'll take the lead.
On the left. Flank them.
Get out of the car and put your hands up now!
Out of the car!
You know, all this stuff, you know, we talk about, like in this scene here where Fayed is essentially ordered to kill himself to throw CTU off the trail. You know, it's again about, you know, commitment and passion, his commitment and passion for his cause. Whether you agree with it or not, doesn't really matter, you know. And I think when it gets to that, when you start talking about commitment and passion, you know, then when it comes to violence, it will get brutal. It will get shocking. And we do that in our series. But it's not about violence for the sake of violence. We don't sit around going, okay, we need to blow something up now, or we need to shoot somebody. You know, we try and make it as a pivotal part of the story.
And one thing that makes the violence loses its color and it doesn't get too devastating is that the concept of it all is a little bit cartoonish. A hero, Jack Bauer, who goes around the United States in 24 hours, saves the whole world in 24 hours, and nothing ever happens to him. It's only in cartoons and in James Bond this happens. So people try to take it as a fictional story, mm-hmm. rather than taking it in as a real story. That's how my daughter, 16-year-old, and her friends who watch 24 with us every Monday, that's how they express their mm-hmm. thoughts about this show, that, Mom, this is not for real, but it gives us a kind of chill when we think that, what if? So maybe the reason that you know that Jack Bauer would never die would turn this, again, to something just watchable, entertaining, rather than scary to believe. Well, we're getting closer to the end.
Or what we think is the end.
Tim, what do you think about this end? Do you believe that a character like Dina Arias would be killed off so easily behind a wall?
Well, we tried to keep it in doubt. Navi was a great man. There was actually a few newspapers around the country that wrote stories about that, wondering whether or not we actually killed the character.
I understand. But we weren't followed. I believe somebody told me that they've read this article in a newspaper, whether it was Hollywood Reporter or Variety, I'm not sure, or New York Post, that it's been officially announced that Dina is dead now.
Oh, it was in the New York Post.
New York Post, right.
Yeah, it's
right.
But...
I realized that there were so many mails and emails asking about...
Yeah, a lot of people were wondering if Dina was really dead. And that's exactly what we wanted everybody to think. And the truth of the matter is, I wouldn't be surprised if Dina ended up back someday. At least we certainly have the ability to bring Dina back. Yes, we do.
I see.
I think we have the ability to bring Dina back.
I see. Altogether, in general, I somehow had difficulties believing that you could get rid of this character so easily. And this is what I keep hearing from friends and you know, people on the street, that like, they killed you that easily, you were killed that easily.
Well, if you read some of the web postings for the episodes that are airing now, people are trying to guess when Dina will come back.
Oh, my God.
Among the other things. So, this is such a... so many people commented about how chilling that moment was when Dina points the gun toward Marwan and there's no bullet in there.
It is. Yeah. I felt it myself.
Yeah, it was.
I felt it myself. Remember, you asked me to not even... this is what I'm talking about. I can't take that somehow. I can't believe that.
What, that she's
that
dead?
She was dead.
Well, that's good.
In the story, because the character is pretty strong.
Right.
And when, as a writer, when you build up a character and take her to the extreme, then you won't just be able to easily expose this of him or her. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I don't think we've seen the last of Dina. And I have to tell you this, I have no inside knowledge.
I know.
Next year we haven't thought of what we're doing just yet as we speak. But I know how our show operates. And, you know, one moment we say somebody's dead, and the following week we say, well, maybe we could bring him back.
Or maybe a year. Remember Dallas?
Yeah.
When the good brother died, and exactly. After a year we realized that all we have been watching was her dream, or Stella's dream.
I don't think we'll do a dream.
No, 24 wouldn't go for a dream, no. It's more awakening than a dream.
Yeah, that's very true.
I enjoyed working with you so much.
Oh, I did too. It was great. It was a great thrill.
I wish I could work with you again.
Well, that's what I say. Maybe Dina's not dead. Same here.
Or maybe some other stories.
I appreciated your trust in me, and what you brought, too. What I loved about what we did, and I think film works at its best, is when people come together with separate and diverse ideas, and something comes from that that is better than each one of those individual ideas. And I think that happened in everything we did.
How could you not trust a great director?
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
I really mean it.
Keep flattering me.